I'm Mike Rush, and welcome to another episode of Sitrep Israel, an automated daily situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This Sitrep was generated on Tuesday, the 28th of April, 2026, at 1:27 Israel time, 22:27 UTC. Rubio rejects Iran Hormuz proposal as Hezbollah-Israel clashes intensify. The United States has flatly rejected an Iranian proposal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz as fighting between Israel and Hezbollah escalated sharply across the Lebanon front. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio dismissed the offer, which would have tied the Strait's reopening to an end of the war and the lifting of the blockade, characterizing it as, "We'll blow you up and you pay us." The proposal, conveyed by two regional officials rather than through formal diplomatic channels, also deferred any nuclear negotiations until after the conflict. Its rejection came after President Trump canceled a planned trip by envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner to Pakistan for talks. Brent crude surged to over $108 a barrel, a 3% jump following the collapse of negotiations, with tanker flow through Hormuz now at just over 3.5% of its pre-war baseline. The diplomatic fallout is already widening fissures between Washington and European capitals. German Foreign Minister Johann Wadephul urged the United Nations to play a more active role in resolving the crisis and reopening the strait, warning of severe global economic consequences. German Chancellor Merz was reported to have said that Iran is humiliating the United States in talks. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, meanwhile, warned that any businesses dealing with Iranian airlines now risk sanctions as part of a renewed maximum pressure campaign. While the Hormuz standoff deepens, Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi met with Russian President Vladimir Putin in St. Petersburg. Putin praised what he called Iran's brave and heroic fight for sovereignty. Araghchi stated that Iran is studying a separate request from President Trump for direct negotiations, claiming the U.S. has failed to achieve its objectives. Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov described the talks as constructive. On the northern front, Hezbollah launched multiple explosive drone attacks on Israeli troops in southern Lebanon, killing Sergeant Eden Fuchs. The 19-year-old's girlfriend, a surveillance soldier, witnessed his death in real time. Hezbollah also claimed strikes on two gatherings of Israeli soldiers in Nakura and on a D-9 bulldozer in Bin Jabal, releasing footage of first-person view drone strikes on two Merkava tanks. In response, the Israeli military struck over 20 Hezbollah sites across southern Lebanon and the Bekaa Valley, including a weapons manufacturing and storage facility where recent reconstruction activity had been identified. Other targets included weapons depots, rocket launch sites, and military structures. The Lebanese Ministry of Health reported 4 civilians killed and 51 injured in the Israeli raids. The IDF confirmed that over 1,900 Hezbollah operatives have been killed since hostilities escalated in March. The political rhetoric is intensifying in parallel. Defense Minister Israel Katz told the UN Special Coordinator for Lebanon that Hezbollah chief Naim Qassem is playing with fire and warned that fire will burn the cedars of Lebanon if the Lebanese government does not disarm the group. Foreign Minister Gideon Saar told the same envoy that Hezbollah is exploiting the presence of UNIFIL peacekeepers. Hezbollah Secretary General Qassem rejected any direct negotiations with Israel, calling last week's Lebanese-Israeli meeting a gratuitous and humiliating concession. Hezbollah parliamentarian Ali Amar added that the blood of martyrs will wash away the shame of the Lebanese government. Internal discipline within the Israeli military has also surfaced as a significant concern. IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir addressed senior commanders to condemn what he called unethical incidents, including looting in Lebanon, the destruction of a Jesus statue, and soldiers wearing political patches. He called the looting a moral stain on the entire army and ordered investigations. Zamir also warned against social media misuse and emphasized that there will be no exclusion of women in the IDF. In the West Bank, Israeli security forces arrested an Israeli civilian suspected of a settler attack that injured a 14-year-old boy in the village of Jalud. Footage showed the teen beaten and pepper sprayed. Two additional arrests were made in connection with a major settler attack last month that injured dozens. In a separate incident in the same village, a Palestinian family narrowly escaped after Israeli settler militias set fire to their home amid repeated assaults on the same house over 2 days. The Palestinian Authority's financial crisis continues to deepen. Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich confirmed that no tax revenues have been transferred to the PA for the past year. The PA Prime Minister said the policy is meant to destroy the institutions of the State of Palestine and has left the government unable to pay employees. In a related zoning dispute, residents of a Palestinian hamlet are set to argue for a planning proposal before the civil administration, despite being denied physical access to the committee hearing. In Gaza, the security situation remains tense despite a ceasefire, with deep uncertainty over Hamas's disarmament. The Kosovo security forces sent a team to the Strip to examine an area where its troops may operate in the future as part of the International Stabilization Force mission. Israeli tanks opened fire towards the eastern areas of Khan Yunis City in the southern Gaza Strip. A Gazan sports trainer, Imad Mikdad, was killed in an Israeli airstrike on his mobile charging tent just 2 weeks before his daughter's wedding. Shifting to the multilateral arena, Iraq's political landscape has shifted after months of deadlock. President Nizar Ahmadi named coordination framework candidate Ali al-Zaidi as prime minister designate, tasking the businessman with forming a government within 30 days. The Shia bloc selection of al-Zaidi came after former prime minister Nouri al-Maliki withdrew his nomination. The United States had previously threatened to stop support for Iraq if Maliki returned to power. Bahrain revoked the citizenship of 69 individuals for what it described as glorifying or sympathizing with hostile Iranian acts and engaging in contacts with external parties. The move followed weeks of Iranian attacks on Gulf states and the arrest of 14 individuals charged with spying for Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Rights groups described the mass revocations as a blatant abuse of power. Bahrain's foreign minister separately urged the UN Security Council to take stronger action over Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz, warning of hundreds of billions in economic losses. In Washington, U.S. lawmakers introduced a bill to grant Americans serving in the Israeli military the same legal protections as U.S. troops, including debt relief, eviction freezes, and job reinstatement. The proposal could affect around 20,000 dual citizens. In Germany, five members of the group Palestine Action appeared in court on charges of smashing an Elbit Systems office in Ulm while shouting pro-Palestinian slogans. And Microsoft removed the label Judea and Samaria Israel from Bing Maps after pressure from a Palestinian digital rights group, restoring the term West Bank. That concludes today's Sitrep. For more Sitreps, visit sitrepisr.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_Sitreps.